Praying always. And how often should we pray? When should we pray? Always. We should just be praying all the time. We've been talking about our spiritual armor. You're going to find this scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, and especially focusing on verse 18 today. And we are just blessed to be in the Word of God. We are blessed to have the Word of God. Amen? I want you to know many people have given their lives so that they can hand this book down to us. I mean, this is an amazing masterpiece of God's divine hand that has brought this through time and many attacks and even opportunities and attempts to try to malign it, to try to butcher it up, to try to change it, to try to do all these different things to it, and yet God has protected it for us today. I think it really is important that we always thank God for His Word, and we base all of our understanding about Him in His Word. I can tell you God never goes against His Word. God always is consistent with His Word. So if you think God is moving in your life, I can tell you the best way to find out is go to the Word of God and see if it's consistent with what you find in here. And if it is, it is God working in your life. And so we're gonna be in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read a larger portion of the passage. We're going to start at verse 10, and we are going to read through verse 18. If you're able to stand, I would ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. If you're not, there's no judgment. We do as we're able. If you're holding a baby, you can sit. If you just can't stand, you feel free to sit. But the reason why I ask you to stand is for respect to God's Word. And also, I think it's like saying, yeah, this is for me today. This is a personal thing. I'm receiving this. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us not only to hear these words, but to accept that these words are for each and every Christian in this room, that we are to put on this armor of God. And Father, if we have any among us that have not entered a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then I pray that today would be the day that they would surrender their heart to you. Father, I pray that this would be the day that they would understand that Jesus came so that He could live a perfect life that none of us have ever lived. He could live a perfectly moral life according to the law and the Word of God. And then, even though He didn't deserve to die, because the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, that He could give His life on that cross to pay for our sins. He didn't need to pay for His. None of us can pay for ours in this world to save ourselves. But He paid for ours, being that perfect sacrifice, so that we could be a child of God through Him. So, Lord, if there's anybody here that is maybe understanding that for the first time today, they've heard the message maybe before, but it's coming to rest in their heart, and it's like you have turned on the lights of their heart, then I pray that today would be the day they would say, yes, Lord Jesus, I want you to be my King. And that they would follow you from this point on. It says in the Word that your sheep hear your voice, and they know you, and they follow you. So, Lord, if anybody's hearing your voice today and realizing this is God calling me, then I pray they'll step out to follow you. And, Lord, at that point, then we're able to put on this armor, and it protects us from the enemy, who is the devil. So Lord, help us to be fully protected by your armor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. We're going to take a look at this this little section in verse 18, talking about praying always with all prayer and supplication. So we often hear a quote, and you'll even hear this in churches, unfortunately, from time to time. You'll hear people say, well, we've tried everything else, now let's pray. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever maybe even said it yourself? I probably have, I'm sure, many times. Well, I've tried everything else, let's pray. Well, John Bunyan once said, and he was the gentleman who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. I don't know how many of you guys have ever heard of that book, but he spent over 14 years in prison for preaching the gospel when he was told by the King of England not to preach it. And he did it anyways. And he took on a lot of punishment for this, and he wrote that book, Pilgrim's Progress, to tell of what it's like for a Christian. It's kind of an allegorical story that goes through a lot of different scenes, and it just shows that's kind of the struggles that we go through as a Christian. Well, this is what he said about prayer. He said, you can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. So what's that saying to us? We need to pray first, don't we? We need to start out with prayer. And then we can do more than pray. Yes, we have things to do in this. But let it be directed by God instead of us trying to do something for God without really knowing what may be the will of God. Let us seek the will of God and then do the will of God. Do I get an amen to that, church? Let's do the will of God. So why don't we ask first? I would even say maybe we need to ask first, even in an emergency. What are you told to do in an emergency? If there's something that a person that's hurt or there's an accident or something like that, what should we do? Most of us carry one of these. Call 911, right? And it's a great thing to do, and I'm so glad that we can do it just about anywhere on planet Earth these days. But I would contend with you this morning, I think that we should pray even before that. We should be praying even as we're, you don't have to stop to pray. If we're praying always, it should be coming out of you. It should be a condition of who you are. You know, one time we were just about to have a terrible accident on the highway. I hit a huge load of lumber on a pickup truck, and we were going all the way to Kansas, and we blew out a tire. Has anybody ever been driving when you blew out a tire? It really drastically inhibits your ability to be able to control the vehicle whenever your tire is just completely gone all at once. And this was on the rear, which I know usually front blowouts are the worst because you can't steer, but whenever you got a huge load, it dramatically affects things. You know what my wife did at that moment? She said, Lord Jesus, help us. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, oh no. And the truck was starting to go back and forth and to weave, and we were on the interstate highway 70, and we were keeping up pretty well with traffic at that point. And I'm going to tell you, I think we had the load up high. I think it might have flipped on us because it really took a drastic turn. And when my wife said, Lord Jesus, help us, that vehicle came under control immediately. And I was able to get off under the shoulder slowly and safely. And then I'm wondering, what am I going to do to get this thing changed? Because with the big load on it and everything, the jack they give you in the truck really isn't rated for all that. Do you know what? The gentleman behind me actually stopped and helped me. I had all the help I needed because my wife remembered to cry out, Lord Jesus, help us. You know, Jesus even cares about your physical moment-by-moment needs. And it's so incredible, and I just thank God that she thought of that. Even before calling 911, call out to Jesus. Ask him to be there for you. In fact, in James chapter 4, he expresses this in verses 2 through 3. He says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You know, why is all this violence going on, all this thievery in our world today, people trying to grab and get? It's because you got what they want, or they see what they want, and they're willing to do whatever they can to get it. I want you to know God owns everything. Everything that you need, God has in his possession. And so don't fight in war to try to get it. That's what he's saying. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. We just need to ask, and God will provide what we need. Do I get an amen to that? I got a lot of people that have been walking with the Lord in here probably longer than I have. Have you seen God work in your lives when you had a need? I haven't. He's never failed me. It may not always been exactly what I was thinking. Sometimes it's different than what I thought. But what I found is it's always better. He knows exactly what I need. He says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasures. So when we do ask, we need to ask of a right heart. God's not going to give you something that's going to hurt you later on. He wants you to have what is going to be good for you. So that's why sometimes he will pass over some of our prayers because he has a better answer in the future. You see, we're in a battle, whether we like it or not. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy is going to come after you, and he's going to try to make it hard on you, and he's going to try to get you to turn away. And so that's what this armor is all about. And the best protection for any battle is to have the strongest warrior going before us. Amen? Have you ever heard of the story of David and Goliath? Most people have heard of this story. How big was David? Normal-sized teenager, probably. How big was Goliath? He was a giant. He was over 9 feet tall by the measurement that's given. He was huge. But you know what? David understood the nature of the battle. He said, you come at me with a spear and all that stuff of war and a sword and all that, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. He said, the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. The Lord wins the battle. Is he going to win? We read the end of the book. He's already as good as won. It's done. It's God has won on the cross. Jesus said, it is finished. Everything that needed to be done to save us from our sins has been done. It's won. Now let's let the strongest warrior go before us. That's what putting on the armor is really about. It says in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And I'm just going to tell you, there's nobody more powerful than God. All the forces of the enemy stacked together along with all of the wickedness that we see in the world in every kingdom that you could imagine and all the strength of this world doesn't even compare to the strength of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives within every believer. God is awesome in power and he is able. And so in one respect in this battle armor, we see that we have the sword of the Spirit that was mentioned in verse 17, after the helmet of salvation, after you're saved, this helps to protect your thought life. And then he wants us to take up the sword of the Spirit, and he says that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. That's this Bible we were talking about. Get it in your heart, memorize it, meditate on it, think about it, apply it, read it. Have it coming to you all the time. Listen to it. There's all kinds of apps on phones. You can listen to the Word of God. Listen to good Bible preachers as they read the Word of God and explain it. Let it be a part of our life. Sword of the Spirit. And then something else you've got that goes along with that as a believer, you have the indwelling presence of God along with that sword of the Spirit. So I want you to think about that you have the presence of God and you have the sword of the Spirit. And through that comes that next part, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see, being in the Spirit means that literally the Spirit lives in you and he is guiding your prayers. So a lot of people say, well, I might pray, but I just don't know what to pray. Spirit is in you. He will help you know what to pray. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so as we look at that, remember, you've got the sword of the Spirit. That is the Word of God. You've got the indwelling presence of the Spirit so that you can pray in the Spirit. You've got everything you need. So praying how often? Always. Praying always. How often? Always. How do you pray always? Does that mean you got to have your hat off, bent down on the floor with your knees bent and your eyes closed? If you're going to be praying always, that means you just need to be in a conversation with God all the time. Now, are there special times that you may get on your knees before the Lord? I think it's a great posture to take because it's showing I'm humble before the Lord. You are greater than me. But that ain't the only time to pray. And you don't have to use King James language when you pray either. You can pray just like you're talking to me. There may be times when you do quote back scripture to God. You know what? That's his will. You can quote that back to him. You're not telling him what to do. You're reminding him of what he already said. I know when my children come to me and they say, you know, Dad, you told me to do this, 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 and that. I appreciate it when they repeat that back to me because it shows they were paying attention, that they know what my heart was and what my will was. Do you think God loves to hear us repeat it back to him? It's his word. Jesus is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He wants to hear it. You pray it back to him. You'll be praying his will then. You see that sword of the Spirit, that indwelling presence of God, praying always. And so what and how do we pray? Well, just like it says, the word of God. Pray it back to him. Pray it in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 27 tells us that even when we don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit will say it for us. Get in the Spirit. Next slide, yeah. And as we're in that Spirit, next one. Next one. Yeah, back one. I'm sorry. That one right there. So it shows us that likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. You ever feel like, man, I feel like I need to pray for this deal, this whole situation, but I just don't even know what to pray. Has anybody ever felt that way about something? I feel that way a lot. I'm not God. I don't know everything. I don't even know what some of y'all need. But I may see that you're really struggling or that your family situation may need have a lot of need. And I may not know exactly what you need, but I know who knows what you need. And so I just offer myself to God in my weakness. And for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Guys, I can tell you, I've been in positions in my life where I've been so low, and I have been so unsure of what I even need, that I would just, in weakness, bow down before God and say, God, I don't even know how to pray for myself. Would you please pray for me? And you know what? I have absolute confidence. God did that. He knows what to pray for you. Let's just stop for a moment. Dear Father, I come before you right now. And Lord, we've got a room full of people here, and everybody's got their own experience going on. There's situations that we can get stuck in and things outside of our control. It may even be a secret sin that nobody knows about. It could be something that we've been hiding for years and we don't want anybody to know about it. Well, you know about it, Lord. You already know. You know every one of our situations. You know the burden that's on our heart. And so, Lord, I don't know what to pray, but we lift it up to you and I pray, Holy Spirit, intercede for us. Lord, we just submit ourselves to you because that is the will of God. And I pray that you would give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. And so as the Spirit will go before us and he will do that, it also talks about supplication in these verses. That's kind of a word that we don't use very often, supplication. We kind of see that there's sort of a little root in there that could have to do with supply, kind of like supplying the things that we need. And so let's look at that word supplication because we see it twice in the same verse there. So let's, that next slide. Supplication's mentioned twice. And this is a verb. It's called desis, and it's related to this other verb, diome. And it talks, which means, that verb means ask or beg or beseech. And the verb that we get supplication from basically is like a request or an entreaty. It's like a special prayer out of the depth of our heart, okay? Because it says to pray and give supplication, so it's a little different than just a normal prayer. It's talking about going to God for our needs and pray in it, like from the depth of our heart. The language here would suggest that it's used like a prisoner's request, probably for freedom or some favor, as well as in requests to deities. So there's only one deity that can help you, and his name is Father God through the Lord Jesus Christ, as led by the Holy Spirit. He's the God that we understand is Trinity. And so he's the one who can help you. And so he wants us to, like, pray from the depth of our heart. Not just go to him and say, well, God, you know, if you could help me, I guess I'll kind of ask you. I don't know. You know, we had a guy in the Bible who came up to Jesus and said, if you can help, help my son, heal my son. And Jesus said, if I can help. You know what that guy needed more help with than anything was his belief, his faith, right? You know, some of us find ourselves there, amen? I need help with my faith. Sometimes I probably go to Jesus like that and say, well, God, if you could really fix this, well, of course he can. There's nothing outside of his control. He raises the dead, guys. I think he can fix it. I don't think that we're going to bring a problem to him that's too big. So, but then he isn't going to do something outside of his will, so that's really what we need to pray, like Jesus did in the garden. He said, Father, if there's any way for this cup to pass by me, that cup was the wrath of God that was going to be poured out on that cross. Jesus said, but not my will, your will be done. I've been told before whenever I pray that that's the Christian cop-out, and it's not. Jesus prayed it. Your will be done, because he knows better than I do. And it may be his will to allow me to go through suffering for a while. He says it is in his word, so I can accept that. If that's his will for me, then I'm willing. But let's pray that his will be done in all things as we supplicate and pray from the depth of our soul. You know, it's a call to be spiritually awake and alert as well. If we look at another part of that verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. I looked up that word watchful. It isn't just looking, you know. It's being awake so you can look. Is it as easy to see things when you're sleeping as it is when you're awake? I don't see much whenever I'm sleeping. We've got to keep our eyes open spiritually. This doesn't mean that you never get to sleep and get rest, but it means even when you're resting, are you ever awakened in the middle of the night? Has anybody ever experienced that? Do you ever resent that sometimes and go, man, why can't I get a good night's sleep? I do sometimes. I feel that way, but here's something I may be suggesting. Maybe God wants to awaken you so that you can pray. Even just for a few minutes. Maybe he just wants to spend a little time with his son or daughter at 3:00 in the morning. That's a rough time, isn't it? Seems like that's what he always wakes me up. 3:00 in the morning. There for a while, I was in this really bad stretch of being awakened at 4:00 in the morning, every morning there for a while. And I was like getting really frustrated about it. And I finally just said, all right, Lord. Apparently you're wanting to spend some time with me. I need to quit resenting this. And he actually had somebody wanted me in particular to pray for. Every morning I'd wake up at 4:00 in the morning and he would put this individual on my mind and my heart. I began to pray for him. And you know, out of the clear blue, I hadn't talked to this guy in a couple months. He called me one day after I went through a stretch of about 2 or 3 weeks like that. He just called me out of the clear blue. I didn't even know he had my telephone number. And he goes, I just wanted to call you to let you know that God has really been working powerfully in my life the last couple weeks. You know what? It made getting up at 4:00 in the morning totally worth it at that point. Being awakened, spiritually awakened so that I could pray. You know, sometimes our eyes can be open, but spiritually we can be asleep. Amen? Have you ever experienced that? God wants us to be spiritually awake. Watchful to this end. You see, this whole thing of sleep and spiritual slothfulness, that's not a new thing. You look at Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, and it talks about it's high time for us to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, but not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's part of spiritual awakeness. Stop living for the flesh, start living for the spirit. You know, fasting is a really good way to help us with that. I don't know how many of you guys would like to grow in your relationship with the Lord and you'd like to go to that next level. As the Lord leads you to give something of the flesh up for a time, doesn't necessarily always have to be forever. It could be for just a while. And by of the flesh, it could be food. It could be a certain kind of food, something that you just is your comfort food. You know what I'm saying? That thing that kind of props you up, that you kind of lean on as a crutch when you're feeling low. Ice cream. I'm teasing. Everybody's like, wait a minute. Don't take away my ice cream. But it could be. I mean, some of us prop ourselves up with something like it. It could be entertainment. Does anybody prop yourself up with entertainment? You don't have to raise your hand. But I just want to give us a minute to think about it. Entertainment could include social media. You're feeling down, so you pop out the smartphone and you hit whatever your favorite social media is, and you look at other people's lives, and they all look like they got a perfect life, and then you start wishing you had their life, and blah, 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 blah. Guys, I'm going to tell you, their life ain't perfect either. They make a good Facebook picture, but they got problems too. So what we want to remember is the place to go to in our time of need is to go to God. Don't get a crutch. It could be a drug, it could be a bad habit, it could be a whatever it is. Give it up, at least for a time. Seek Jesus. Get close to him, and you're going to find out he's way better than anything. And then, as he allows us to have some of these things that were okay or good for us in our life, that we can have them back, he'll let you have them back. Jesus fasted. Do you think he did it because he was imperfect or something like that for his sins? He never sinned, so he didn't do it for that. He did it to be strengthened. Strengthened in the Lord so that his flesh wouldn't get in the way. He was giving us an example. I think it's important for us to use that to get out of our spiritual slothfulness. You know, this isn't a new problem at all. In fact, whenever he was getting ready to go to the cross, he had his disciples out there with him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he arose from prayer, Luke chapter 22, verses 45 through 46, and had come to his disciples, he found them doing what? Sleeping. They were sleeping from sorrow. You ever just get tired because you feel depressed? I do. I heard somebody talking the other day. You know, we were talking about depression. What are the signs of depression? For some, it's just being downright tired, just not even feeling like getting up in the morning. You ever feel like that? Well, I'll tell you, if your eyes are open, force them a little bit further open and get out of the Word of God and encourage your heart with it. Read a psalm or something there that you can find. Go to a gospel and read some of those red letters and feed your soul. Because he says, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. You see, that spiritual slothfulness leaves an opening for the devil to just come and take over. Do you ever notice if you're depressed, you want to isolate yourself? Can anybody relate to that? I know I'm kind of getting in everybody's Cheerios today. I'm sorry. But you know, not really, because we need to learn how to defend ourselves. You see, whenever I have felt depression, I would say things like, oh, I hate being around people. Can anybody relate to that? And you know what I needed most of all was to be around some people. I need other people feeding into me. But the first person I need feeding into me is the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to let him in first. You see, as I do that, and I feel depressed, and I don't even feel like being awake, but I force myself to be awake for a minute, and I pick up that word of God. God feeds me, and he tells the devil to go away. You see, I get to feeling depressed sometimes too, just like everybody else. I'm a human being. And here's the thing. The next time you feel depressed, try singing, Great is Your Faithfulness. Try singing your favorite worship song, whatever it may be. Try singing, "How great is our God?" And what you'll find is the devil don't hang around too long for that. He doesn't like praise music. What he likes is to keep you down. You see, it's not a new problem to just desire just to fall asleep. The disciples did it. You know what? God wants us to be fully spiritually watchful to this end. And then he calls us to persevere in prayer. That word persevere is a cool word. And with all perseverance, he wants us to keep on keeping on, he says in verse 18. Luke 18 talks about this a little bit. Jesus told a parable about a widow that wanted some justice from the local judge. And so she just kept bugging this guy. She just kept calling this guy. She just kept talking to this guy. She kept demanding justice. And finally, that unrighteous judge said, "She's going to drive me crazy. She's going to weary me with her asking, so I just better go ahead and do it." And then Jesus ends it with, "And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless," this is the big thing he wants to see, "when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" That's what he wants to know. Do we have faith? And he'll see that as we persevere in prayer. Real short verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How often should we pray? Always. How long should we pray? Don't stop. Don't stop till you're standing in front of Jesus. You just keep praying all the way through to the end, and then you'll be standing before him. Pray for whom? He even includes this, tells us who to pray for in Ephesians 6:18. To keep watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He wants you to pray for one another. How many of you guys are involved in our prayer chain here at the church? I got a lot of hands going up. You guys are awesome. Thank you for your prayers. You keep praying, because I'm going to tell you, those prayers storm the gate of hell. That's what Jesus said when he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." When you pray, it pushes the enemy back. You keep praying. How many of you come on Wednesday nights sometimes? You don't have to come every Wednesday night to raise your hand, but if you've been here on Wednesday night, let's keep praying. I've heard it said that church is a praying church. We're not a good enough praying church, but praise God we understand. We must pray. Why do we pray? Because he said so. But we should be praying for one another. So why should we pray? Let's just go through a quick list here, short list. First of all, because God instructed us to. He said so. I gave that one away. It's part of our armor, too, number two. You know what? You don't have the protection that you need until you start learning to pray. If you're not living a victorious Christian life, then you just keep praying until you are. You learn to pray more. Learn to pray deeper. You learn to pray the scripture. You pray God's word back to him. It's part of our armor. Number three, because God hears our prayers. You know what? Prayer service should not be boring. A lot of times people say, "Well, I'd come to the prayer service, but it just seems boring to me." You know what? Guys, we're talking to God. We're not talking to one another. We shouldn't be. We're talking to God, and we're just doing it out loud. You can even come to a prayer service and not pray out loud. You can just agree. Because it says where any two of us agree on anything, God hears from heaven, and he'll do it. Man, that's exciting. God hears it. And God is moved by our prayers. Is that not an exciting thing? When you pray for something, and then you get to see it happen, you will be reassured, yes, I am walking with God. Wow. I'll tell you a little story real quick. My dad seemed like the least person in the world to ever give his life to Christ. I came to Christ, and all he did was give me a hard time about it. My faith got tested right out of the bat. My sister's here. She's a witness. Give me a witness. He's one of the few people my wife actually had a hard time praying for, and she prays for everybody. She told me one day, she said, it's hard for me to pray for your dad because I just can't even imagine it happening. God bless him. He was the most stubborn person I've ever known and the most wonderful person. I love my dad, but I wanted him to be saved so bad. And I'll tell you, he seemed so far from God, it just didn't even seem possible. One day I was in a little prayer room, and it was like this little area over here behind that door going into the baptistry at the last church I was in. Had a little room, and there was like 10 guys that would go in there before service and pray. I mean, we packed it. We'd get in that little room, and all you could feel was body heat and your breath. But we go in there so we'd have a private, quiet place to pray for that service before it happened. And I'll tell you what, I was standing in that place, and my Heavenly Father put it on my heart by aid of the Holy Spirit that I should pray that my dad would not only give his heart to the Lord, but that he would come to church with us. And you know, the first week I went, I can't utter that out loud because I can't imagine it actually happened. And went back in there the next week, and man, the conviction was, it was so heavy on me. And I'm standing there with all these guys, and I couldn't even say anything else that day until I said, okay. And I went, Lord, I don't know how you could do it, but if you would just help my dad give his heart to you and come to church. I'm telling you, it wasn't the most eloquent prayer. It was something like that, and it was really awkward. Passed off the next guy. Came back the next week, went back in that prayer room, and God laid it on my heart again. This time I was a little bit more confident in it, and I said, Lord, save my dad. Bring him to church. And I'm going to tell you what happened. I opened that door. Walked out. I was the first guy out of that room, and I looked over where Brother Sam's sitting, and my dad was sitting right there. And I'm going to tell you, it gives me chills all over my body whenever I even just testify to that. But I want you to know, God is moved by your prayers. Was it already God's will? Absolutely. I was just praying his will back to him. But he was pleased to let me be able to be part of the story. And I'm going to tell you, it did so much for my faith. It came with complication, too. Because, you know, like at the end of the service when you go forward to pray and stuff like that, I'd come up to the altar, and then on Monday morning we'd go to work, and he'd go, you got some kind of problem in your life? Because I noticed you was up there. Are you struggling with a sin you need to tell me about or something? And I'd say, Dad, that was between me and God. But here's the thing, whenever it came time for him to close his eyes the last time, I saw the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, and I could say, I think my dad's going to be there when I get there. I want to praise God for that, and then I got to be a part of it. Why do we pray? 2 Chronicles 7:14, this will be our last scripture for the day. If my people, that's us. It was Israel then, but it's us now. Not that we replaced them, but we were grafted in. If my people who are called by my name, we are Christians. That comes from the name of Christ. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Why should we pray? Because the whole world depends on it. We need to pray. I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a baptism here in just a couple minutes. But before we do, they're going to have one final song in this altar of such. You know, we don't sacrifice anything up here other than ourselves. It's going to be open for y'all to come forward and pray. I'm not going to be able to be here this morning. Brother Steve will be available to you if you need somebody to pray with you. Because I know he's comfortable with praying with others. He's prayed with me. If you need flesh to pray with you, you see Brother Steve. But if you just need to take it to the Lord, feel free to come forward. There's something about just being obedient and coming forward, guys. If God's put it on your heart, just do it. If he ain't put it on your heart, you stay right where you're at. Don't feel compelled by me. But if God's compelling you, don't you dare tell him no. And I'm going to go back and get ready for the baptism during this last song. Because Carrie Ryder is getting baptized today, amen? Yeah. But you know what? God might be working in your heart right now that you need to surrender your life to him, and maybe you need to be the next one slated to be baptized. So I just want you to be obedient to God this morning. Come on up, music team, as I pray. Dear Father, I just want to lift up this group here, and Lord, as we prepare for this final thing of the worship service today, baptism. It's one of the beautiful ordinances of the church. Lord, I pray that you would help all of our hearts to be in the right place with you. If there's anybody here that has a burden on their heart they just need to pray about, let them do it now. Let them not wait till tomorrow. They don't know if they're going to have tomorrow. And so, Lord, let us make sure we keep short accounts with you. If there's that sin in our life that we've been trying to get rid of for 20 years and we keep praying about it, and if we feel defeated, help us to bring it there one more time and pray that you'll help set us free and help us to do what we need to in it, but help us to get the strength and the power and the armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication for all the saints, being watchful always, praying always, keeping it going in that direction until we're standing before Jesus someday. Help us to know you are able, Lord. You are able to help us. Lord, bless this house of worship today with faith. In Jesus' name, amen.